If you've been hassling with glasses and contacts for years, why wait any longer? At Carolina Ophthalmology, we've been performing LASIK eye correction here in Chapel Hill for 17 years. At your free consultation with Dr. James Bryan, he will answer your questions and evaluate whether LASIK is right for you. Take our LASIK self-test at carolina2020.com. Call us today, 919-945-EYES. Why wait any longer?
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Hi, I'm David Fitch. My great-grandfather started Fitch Lumber and Hardware back in 1907. Since then, we provide thousands of contractors and homeowners with top-quality building products and exceptional service that's truly second to none. Everything you need to construct, renovate, and repair the home from the foundation to the roof, we can help you with. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro across from Carmel Mall. 105 years and counting. Here comes Fitch.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruiser's, good to go.
Jeff Hamlin, Walter Storholt back with you here from Aumann Stadium in Hillsboro. The Orange Panthers ranked number 10 in the state in 3A football, and they lead Graham 21-0 as we begin the second half of play, and it will be Graham kicking off to the Panthers to start this second half. And Orange didn't exactly light the world on fire offensively during the first half. They had 150 yards, which is actually well below its season average of 401 yards per game. But the Orange defense has stayed intact. The season low by Orange in terms of yards yielded is 90. That was the best job they've done this year. That was against Northern 2 weeks ago. And right now they're on pace to eclipse that, as Graham wound up with only 30 yards of total offense in the first half, and all of that, Walter, was on the ground. And in fact, Graham didn't even average 2 yards per carry on the ground.
And had more penalty yardage than they did in the game, than they did rushing yardage. And that is something else to really be frustrated about if you're the Graham Red Devils. So you just got to start trying to build towards something better here in the second half. Start winning the individual battles out on the field. Second half getting ready to kick off in just a moment, but we'll bring you one more score update that we teased you about, looking to close out the second quarter between Northwood and Carrboro. The Jaguars trailing 14-7, but get a touchdown late in the second quarter, but the extra point blocked. So the Jaguars trail the Chargers, their rivals to the south, by 1 point. That game nearing halftime may already be there, but it sounds like they've got a good one down in Carrboro.
Absolutely.
You can hear that game on WCHL.
That's right. You can go to the old terrestrial station, or just check your feed here on chapelboro.com and switch to that instead.
I'm impressed. I didn't know we were going to have the word terrestrial mentioned
yes.
on the broadcast. I'm excited about that.
I'm very proud of that. So terrestrial or terrestrial or one of those.
Depends on where you're from.
That's right. We will talk about the big college game we have coming up tomorrow here on WCHL, but we don't have one.
That's right.
Because Carolina's off.
They get 2 weeks to prepare for Georgia Tech.
That's
They'll be
right.
Duke taking on Georgia
yep.
Tech instead.
Paul Johnson's Yellow Jackets will visit Wallace-Wade Stadium tomorrow, and then, of course, Carolina will go down to Bobby Dodd Stadium next week in Atlanta. You and I have actually taken in the atmosphere down in Atlanta. Back when, well, for my case, at least when Paul Johnson wasn't there, it was back when Chan Gailey was still coaching the Yellow Jackets, but that should be a good one. It'll be most interesting to see how Carolina responds after that resounding win over the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee last week.
Also, see how they respond to the big loss they had to Georgia Tech last year after letting them put, 70 points up on
yep,
the board?
Exactly.
Got to show some improvement somehow.
That's right. Plus, it gives Carolina an extra week to figure out how to work the coin flip properly.
You had to work in that.
Hey, come on. We saw that in a high school game a few years ago. As we mentioned, Graham will kick off to the Panthers to begin this, the second half of play. And it will be Edwin Ariolas to kick off for Graham, going right to left across your digital radio dial, or your browser for that matter. Tay Jones back deep to receive the kickoff for Orange. They're moving left to right to begin the third quarter. Panthers lead 21-0, looking for a 4-0 start going into their bye week next week. And we have whistles just as the ball goes up in the air. We had 13 officially marked penalties in that first half, and that wasn't even counting the ones that were declined. And there were a few of those. And naturally, we began this one with an offside penalty here on the kickoff against Graham. So the ball will be moved back to the 35-yard line as opposed to the 40, and that's where Ariolas will have to kick the ball away. Graham, as we mentioned earlier, quite familiar with Coach Pat Moser. Pat Moser graduated from Graham High. He led the Red Devils to two regional championships back in 1999 and 2000, and the crowning achievement for the school, the 2001A state championship. Coach Moser actually had a pancreatitis attack the following summer, was in a coma for 17 days, but still came back to coach the following season. He stepped down for health reasons in 2005. Ariolas with the kickoff is taken by an upback for Orange at the 25. This is Stewart over the 30. To the 35, sidesteps a Red Devil over the 40, and he's brought down belly-to-belly suplex style at the 43-yard line. The tackle was made by Khalil Poole. So Garrett Clower, only 3 of 8 throwing the football for Orange, well below his clip of 68% coming into this game, will lead the Panthers out first and 10 at their own 44-yard line. And it will be Michael Bolden, who has two rushing touchdowns for Orange this year. The first came against Northern in the first quarter 2 weeks ago. The other came tonight in the first quarter against the Red Devils. He'll be the fullback in the backfield. Jones will take the handoff, running to the left, around in over the 50-yard line, and he's into Red Devil real estate to the 45, 44-yard line. A solid gain of 12 there for Tay Jones, and most importantly, he kept his helmet on.
Beautiful mix of speed and power as Jones barrels forward for the first down, up the middle, getting it done any way he can, bouncing right back up after the hits. Really enjoy watching him run. And the crazy thing is, Jeff, we're not even seeing the lead rusher for this Orange squad, the star Pettiford out. That's with right. That injury that you mentioned in the first half tonight, but it's not stopping this Orange offense yet.
It's been Drew LeMaster who has stepped in his place, and really, Orange's offense, they've been off a step tonight, but LeMaster certainly hasn't been. He's a wingback right now, and he'll take the call. He'll run to the right, good block on the outside, stretches out to the sideline over the 40, and he is taken down right at the 35-yard line, so he'll be a little shy of the first down, but another solid run by Drew LeMaster, who is leading Orange in rushing this far in the game.
He's fun to watch when he gets to the sideline because he's just very, very good at leaning back into the field to try and get just a couple of extra 2-3 yards at the end of the play by tiptoeing along the sideline. But he's able to get this upper body leaning back toward the interior of the field to allow his momentum to move forward just a little bit.
It's funny how he uses the same wrestling techniques in carrying the football.
You're
it's
right.
Very similar
it
to
does
that.
Look like that, yep.
Second and two. It's LeMaster again running to the right over the 30. Breaks up the center of the line. He's got plenty for the first down. Ahead inside the 30 to the 26. He was bulldogged down there by Ladarius Lee, the linebacker, who's playing both ways tonight for Graham. So it's first down. Ball to the 27 of the Red Devils. And LeMaster is coming up on a 100-yard game, which would be the first in his career.
He's up to 89 right now.
Previous
Jones
high
is at 47.
Previous high was 21 last week against Riverside. Remember, he's just a part-time offensive player having to step in for the injured Pat Pettifor tonight. Clovis, three-step drop, throws for LeMaster in the flat. He's got it at the 25, and he's tackled down the far end of the field at the 22 by Abraham Reyes, the cornerback. Orange leading 21-0. And looking to score here on their initial drive of the second half, called out a gain of 4 on the play.
getting a lot done on the field right now. LeMaster getting the job done out of the backfield on that play, catching the ball. He may be earning some more starting time here on the offense with this performance tonight.
Michael Bolden will line up as a wing back. Orange will go with a three wideout setup. The only back in the backfield will be Tay Jones on second and six. The slot formed by Piscatelli. And now the handoff goes out to Jones. He'll run to the right side, past the 15, over the 10, dives inside the five-yard line. The only thing stopping Tay Jones from scoring his second touchdown of the night was number 22, Courtney Edmonds, the free safety. And we've got a Red Devil down.
Injured player brings the official timeout. I really like watching Jones run. Looks like he's just so light on his feet. It's almost like he's just hovering above the ground. Almost like he skipped through the end of that play on the run as he was jumping over a defender. Just very light, airy. He can twist his body sideways but still go forward. That's how he slices through defenders. Just does a nice job to get down the field no matter the situation, whether he's got to run straight vertical and keep his body weight over top of him or if he's got to lean into a hit. He does well and excels at those different styles of running.
Tay Jones with 18 yards on that play before he was tackled at the Red Devil four-yard line.
He's up to 65 yards, Jeff, on 10 rushes.
And we've got LeMaster now, 8 carries, 89 yards. So that orange ground game, which really was stymied because of penalties, in the first 15 minutes or so of this game has found its legs here as this game has churned on. It's just been a struggle for the Panthers to get going in terms of a rhythm offensively. It looks like it's Abraham Reyes who is down here for Graham, and he's being helped off the field. He is a triple threat kicker. So Orange will have it first down. Tell you what, Reyes is having some yeoman's duty. You want to talk about having to fill a lot of hats. We told you that Graham doesn't have that much in terms of personnel. They only have 34 players on the roster tonight, and almost half of those, 16 to be exact, freshmen or sophomores. That's very, very rare to see that type of youth at the varsity level.
It's pretty sparse over on the sideline in terms of substitutes, but I've been impressed with what they've been able to do on defense tonight. Orange could very well have a lot more points on the board, but this Graham Devils defense is hanging in there tough.
And Clover throws the flat, caught by Jones, but he's hitting the backfield, and he'll be dropped. Oh, a tremendous job by Damian Dawkins, who stepped in place of Reyes that time and knocked down Jones for a loss on the pass play. Loss one.
And that's a perfect example right there is Dawkins able to get in there, tackle his defender, did not let go. We've seen the Orange defense make a few more missed tackles than we're used to seeing them, at least in this season. But Graham doing a good job to wrap up the tackler there to take him down.
Muller lines up as a wideout to the left, to the right, Piscatelli, who intercepted a pass to kill Graham's first drive of the night and score and lead to a score for Orange. Now Clower, second and goal from the five-yard line. Out of the double wing, the handoff. It'll go to LeMaster, who breaks around the right end, and he'll take it into the end zone for a touchdown. Drew LeMaster with the score makes it 27-0 in favor of the Panthers.
Good blocking opened up that lane for LeMaster. Based on all of his other runs tonight, that was one of the easiest he's had getting into the end zone without having to absorb too much contact.
Fine blocking by Adam Reynolds, the center, along with the left guard, Tyler Rotana. And so Orange, with the first rushing touchdown of the year by Drew LeMaster, makes it 27-0.
LeMaster with 9 rushes for 94 yards and now a touchdown. Jones with 10 rushes for 65 yards and a touchdown. Bolden still with those 4 rushes but also has a touchdown.
Here's Brad Barbie, who's converted 3 extra points so far on the night. High snap on this one. Barbie got the kickoff, and he put it through the uprights. And so Orange has a 4-touchdown lead now. Question is, can the defense keep its perfect streak intact? We'll see when we come back. 8:56 to go, third quarter. It's Orange 28, Graham nothing, and you're listening to ChapelBurrow.com.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network, and we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, NPC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Well, Darius Lee takes the kickoff from Barbie, and he's got a hole past the 20, ran past a few broken tackles, over the 25, still weaving his way up the field. 35, far sideline, 40, 45, 50, to the 45, and he's tripped up at the last moment by the kicker, Barbie. Inside Panther territory, Brad Barbie had to do his own dirty work that time to keep Graham from scoring. And it'll be a first down for Graham, but now the Orange defense will have to prove its worth once again as Graham will line up with its second-best starting field position of the night, the Panther 37-yard line.
Beautiful return. Lee cutting left and right, going to all sides of the field, trying to get that ball up the field. If he hadn't had to do so much sideways running, he'd have been able to beat the kicker down the sideline. Beautiful, beautiful return.
All the way to the 37 of Orange. So Jamie Newman, who has not completed a pass on the night for Graham, we'll run a keeper here dead up the middle of the line, and he runs into an Orange wall. Maybe got back to the line of scrimmage, and that's about it. And it's been that type of night for the Graham signal caller. He got maybe a yard.
Tough to get anything going when you've got that pressure coming up the middle from Orange, especially really good penetration that time on the play by Jake Frederick, the 6'1", 305-pound defensive lineman, barging his way through to help make the stop.
Call it no gain, in fact. Newman, 1 week after really doing everything he can to lead Graham to its first win of the season against Western Alamance, has really run into one solid defensive front for the Panthers. So now it's second and 10. Newman with a handoff to Lee, and he'll run to the right, make that seven. Daniel Graves, who was in that time as the tailback, and he got back to the line of scrimmage and perhaps a yard to the 35. So now it's going to be third down. Call it third down and 8. Third down and 8. Remember, Orange's first-string defense has not given up a point this year, and the Panthers have not given up a point this year in the second or third quarters. That's a streak they're trying to keep intact tonight. On third down and 8. Here is Newman, back to throw, looks to the near sideline, throws over the middle, wide of his intended receiver, and incomplete as he was looking that time for Daniel Graves coming out of the backfield. Coverage was Mark Cole, and so will be fourth down.
Newman's just gripping that ball a little bit too tight, I think. He's just holding on to it. He's trying to rifle it as hard as he can in there into the receiver, and it's just not working out. He's got to be loose. He's got to relax a little bit, but it's hard to blame him. He's been facing a lot of pressure the few times he has dropped back to pass tonight. He said pressure always constantly on him. But on that play, you got to hang loose a little bit, find that receiver, let your arm breathe, let go of that ball, and it brings up a big fourth down play for the Red Devils.
Graham will go for it. Lee's the lone back of the backfield with a slot to the left. On fourth down and 8. Orange up 28-0. Lee in motion. They'll throw a swing pass his way, and it's dropped. That's going to be ruled a lateral to play alive with a Graham player picking up the ball, and then he is walloped from behind. What a hard hit made on Don Evans by 52, Eric Compton. Good play by Evans to have the awareness to realize that was ruled a lateral, but then Compton made a good play and coming up from behind and putting a helmet in his sternum. And so Orange will take over on downs, no gain on the play.
Well, Graham's done a good job a couple of times tonight moving the ball down the field, but Jeff, they just stall out once they get into Orange territory. They took over the ball after a bad punt by Orange on the 18-yard line. Couldn't turn that into any points. They get into the Orange territory again that time. They just can't get the ball moving once they cross that center field.
Garrett Clore leads the Panthers back out. They're already up 28-0. Handoff goes up the middle. It's Jones past the 40. And Tate Jones will grind ahead to the 43-yard line.
Trey Yarborough with some nice help on the stop there. A small linebacker coming up to make the first hit.
Garrett Clore coming into this game with 8 touchdown passes, and he's already got one tonight. That came in the very waning moments of the second quarter as he threw to Tay Jones. So that's 9 passing touchdowns on the year for Garrett Clore. the junior quarterback for the Panthers, as opposed to just one interception. That one came against Person. Gain of five there for Tay Jones, who's looking for another 100-yard night. It'll be second and five here. Grant comes with a blitz. Orange picks it up nicely. Thrower can't find anyone to throw the ball to, so he makes a break for it. He churns over the 45, taken down by a trio of Red Devils at the 46-yard line, shy of the first down.
The defender on the tackle was Ladarius Lee, who's doing double duty tonight, both as the main running back for this Red Devils team. He's going to go off the field here. I think he was underestimated the power with which Clower could run that football. Kind of knocked Lee a little bit back on his feet. Clower was able to fall forward to make this a manageable third down.
How many Red Devils do you think are playing both ways tonight? At least five. Don Evans is a wideout on offense. He's a free safety in there right now. We've seen Daniel Graves as a wideout. He's the man covering Joe Piscatelli right now on defense. Third short for Orange. They go with a tight setup out of the eye, and Clower simply calls his own number and battles into Red Devil territory to the 46, and that'll be enough to move the chains. So Garrett Clower showing off his own legs that time. After Tay Jones started the possession with 6 yards, Clower does the rest to earn a new set of downs. 5.5 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Orange looking for a 4-0 start. For the first time in at least 25 years, and probably much longer than that. And they lead 28-0. Piscatelli to the right. Far in the field, Kai Muller.
Orange now 3 of 9 on third down opportunities.
First down here from the Graham 47. Clower, three-step drop, looks to throw, looks for Piscatelli. He's got it inside the 40-yard line and taken down right there. Piscatelli, the possession receiver, tackled by Daniel Graves, but it's a solid pickup of 7 on first down.
Nice job by Piscatelli to hold on to the football. He had pressure coming very quickly, had to be ready for that hit, but he did what you're supposed to do as a receiver. Make that catch first, then you worry about plan B, which is getting extra yardage or absorbing that hit. Focus on catching the football, and he did it there.
Clower, very good at making the solid short throws, although the times when he's had the throw long tonight, he's done that quite adaptly as well. All right, second down and 3. Handoff, Jones on the modified end around. He turns ahead to the left looking for the first down. He's tackled very close to the yard marker, but it's going to be third and short. The tackle was made that time by Courtney Edmonds, the free safety who also plays occasionally on offense as a wide receiver.
Jones got twisted up like a pretzel on that run a couple times tonight. Graham's done a nice job of kind of pointing his feet in different directions and making his head bob around a little bit. Legs got tangled up pretty good there, but he was able to squeeze out a good second down run.
Inside 4 minutes remaining, and Orange has a 3rd and 1. They go with the standard double wingback setup. Lemaster goes in motion. And here's Clower again with the quarterback sneak. Takes off up the middle. Boy, great job done by the center that time, Adam Reynolds, to pave the roads that time as Clower got more than enough for the first down, getting ahead to the Graham 30.
It's kind of funny. Clower busted through that line of scrimmage. And, you know, when you do a quarterback sneak, most of the time when you're just looking for a yard, you're just kind of lunging forward, and you're just expecting to fall. Yeah. And he kind of went forward about 3-4 yards, but the seas sort of parted, and you could see he was almost about to fall down and kind of slowed, and then all of a sudden said, oh, I get a few more. Turned the legs real quick and got another 3 or 4 out of it.
That's right. It was Reynolds and Zach Wagner doing a good job of blocking that time. That's not a play in this offense to get 2 yards. It's more designed to get 6 or 7. At least the way Clower runs it. Here's Garrett back to throw again. He'll lunge it deep down the field. It is caught in the end zone and then dropped. Michael Campbell had it for just a moment, but he couldn't hold on.
Two beautiful passes in this game by Clower. One was a bomb that would have been for an 80-90-yard score. This one would have been for a beautiful 30-yard strike, but it gets dropped at the last second. Oh, receiver's not helping Clower pad the stats at all tonight.
Clower has thrown the long-distance ball tonight very, very well, as Walter alluded to there. Jeffrey Campbell had that ball in his hands, and he was double-teamed, but Clower put it right where he could catch it. Campbell just couldn't do the rest that time. All right, so it's 2nd and 10. Orange up 28-0 with 3:05 remaining in the third quarter. And here's Clower with 2 wingbacks. He'll hand it off to the left one. That's Lemaster running to the right, over the 25, over the 20, 15-yard line, one man to beat, over the 10, and he's tackled at the 5. All that time that Lemaster could do was dodge Don Evans, who managed to take his ankles and trip him up. And it looks like we have a Panther down.
Maybe Lemaster.
Yep, I think it is. Drew almost scored that time as he was tackled at the 3. Boy, that's some nifty running that time by Drew LeMaster, and we hope he's able to recover from this as the Panther trainers scramble around looking to help the young man who is now close to a 100-yard night. LeMaster, only a sophomore at 5'8", 175 pounds, and just think of his athletic future, finishing third in the Mideast region in wrestling at the 170-pound division, third in the region for an orange team that wound up winning the 3A state dual team championship, and they won the Mideast individual team championship as well. LeMaster is the injured Panther, and he comes away limping, favoring his right leg.
Looked like they were stretching out the right calf, so hopefully he's just limping due to the residual pain of a cramp here, as they were not rushing to bring him bandages or a brace or anything, but just simply rushing to bring him some water to get him rehydrated as he limps off, taking his helmet off. He's up to 119 yards, Jeff, on 10 rushes.
So that will be his first 100-yard rushing game as a varsity member of the Panthers. He will exit the contest. Orange will now put Mark Holt in there as the wing back. He's now the third stringer. Keep in mind, LeMaster was filling in for Pat Pettiford, who was also injured last week against Riverside. He sprained his ankle. First and goal for Orange at the Graham 3-yard line. Clower sets back the throw, but the wideouts moved early, and flags will kill the play for a false start. So it'll be first and goal from the 8 this time.
Both teams have improved in their penalty situations here in the third quarter based on what we saw in the first half. Still have seen a few flags fly, but nowhere near the amount that we saw, especially in that second quarter of play.
It's 9 penalties against the Panthers in this game. Ball back to the 9-yard line. Clock running with 2:35 remaining. It's been all Orange tonight. Holt in the game as a wingback. The other wingback will be Tay Jones.
87 yards in penalties against Orange tonight, Jeff.
That is way too many, and Coach Pat Moser will not be happy about that to hear in the postgame. Short drop back. Clower throws for Piscatelli in the end zone. He lunges for it, but he can't quite keep it in his hands, and it's incomplete. So it's second down. Piscatelli looking for his second receiving touchdown of the year. The first came against Northern 2 weeks ago.
That was a little bit uncharacteristic of Clower. Usually he's a little bit more on point on those shorter throws. That one was a bit off the mark.
Kai Muller will line up to the left as one wide receiver. Piscatelli still in the game as the other wide out to the right side. Again, Orange with a double wing setup for junior quarterback Garrett Clower. Second and goal now, and here's the handoff. Jones will follow a convoy of blockers out to the left side. He's to the 5, and it's the second touchdown of the night for Tay Jones on the ground, the third overall. Touchdown for the Panthers.
Nice run by Jones. Excellent blocking on that left edge. He just had all day to get into the end zone because of really good blocking by the other wide receivers out on the edge and also by that offensive line pulling to the left side, driving that Graham line backward.
So Tay Jones with his third touchdown of the night. He's had 2 on the ground and his first receiving touchdown of the year. Brad Barbie with the extra point. We have a flag down, of course. The kick is good off the hold by Bryce Wilson and the snap by Adam Reynolds. Let's see what the hanky was about. Disregard the flag. So it is 35-0 indeed after the point after by Barbie. And we'll do a timeout. 35-0 Panthers over Graham, and you're listening to ChapelBurrow.com.
Mark Vitale's All of That Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All of That Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All of That Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Salemson, Chief Executive Officer of Corporate Investors Mortgage Group, and I'm proud to lead Chapel Hill's only locally owned mortgage bank. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows, so whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels!
Jeff Hamlin, Walter Storholt back with you from Ahman Stadium in Hillsboro as Orange leads 35-0 against Graham, and the Panthers will look for a 4-0 start, and they're on the verge of getting it here. And Walter, we got some scores to talk about.
Yeah, a few updates for you. East Chapel Hill has taken the lead over Southern Alamance 28-22. They were the first to strike in the third quarter with 5:15 remaining in the third when they put those points up on the board. End of the second quarter, Northwood leading Carrboro 21-13. So the Jaguars needing to come back in that game. Not the first time Jaguars have been in that position so far this season. Southern Vance leads Northern Vance 27-6 right now. And Garner up on top of Carey, 35-21. That game already into the fourth quarter as well.
That Big 8 conference that Orange is a part of is going to be murder. You have Northwood in there that's beating a team that played for the 2A state championship last year in Carrboro. And then, of course, Cardinal Gibbons, who is always a threat to win the 3A or 3AA state championship, not to mention Southern Durham, which has won several 4A Pac-6 championships over the last few years. They now moved down to 3A because of a decrease in enrollment. Three powerhouses right there, and this Orange team, which is going to start 4-0, and in 2 minutes and 11 seconds will have kept their opponents scoreless during the second and third quarters for the first four games of the year. Just a remarkable statistic. And the Orange first team defense has not given up a point this year. And, Walter, it looks like before too much longer, the first team defense will be pulled. We have an injured Red Devil being helped off the field, trying to make out who that is. It might be Khalil Poole, who is a free safety, who was injured on the extra point and has been down for quite some time.
I'd imagine in the fourth quarter you're going to start seeing some players get a little bit more action on the field who don't normally see a lot of playing time.
So Brad Barbie will line up the kick once again as Orange leads 35-0 with 2:11 remaining here in the third quarter. Graham looking for its first win of the year. They'll be denied, and next week they will try to get it against Atkins, the Atkins Camels. Here's the kickoff. Short hop that bounced off the chest of a Red Devil, but now fielding it is number 7, Daniel Graves. Got a flag down as Graves gets over the 7-yard line, past the 20, over the 30, and got down to the 37. Stands to be a 30-yard return, but there's a flag down, believe it or not.
Wasn't expecting that.
There's a stunner there.
Just a little bit of sarcasm.
Yes. Block in the back called against Graham. We've only had 15 penalties called tonight, so you would have thought that perhaps we would have eased up on the infractions, but not so, according to the referee, Len Roberts. That is the number, by the way. I'm not kidding when I say that. That's 15 penalties. 2:03 remaining here in the third quarter. Orange will have the week off next week. This is their final non-conference game, and then a powerful conference slate awaits them. The opener, Northwood in Pittsburgh. Northwood team that, as Walter mentioned, leading Carrboro tonight. And after that, it will be Northern Vance under a brand-new head coach. Vikings playing in the Battle of Vance County tonight against Southern Vance, as Walter mentioned earlier. Handoff, play action fake. It's Newman looking to throw. Almost throws from its goal line under pressure from Artrell Stewart. And the pass is incomplete. It was Eric Compton, though, who managed to haul him to the turf. And Newman still has not completed a pass in this game. It's second down. The Orange defense has given up only 168 yards per game through three games this year. And that number might actually decrease, believe it or not. So it's going to be second and 10 coming up as Graham lines up with two wideouts to the right side out of the I formation. Now it shifts into a pistol as Newman lines up 3 yards away from center, and he'll toss it over. This is number 7 on the play, Daniel Graves, with a flag down. Graves will run to the far sideline where a series of Panthers chase him to the boundary, and he's hauled out of bounds after a gain of what stands to be 3, but it's coming back if Orange elects to accept this holding penalty called against Graham. 1:47 remaining. We mentioned Graham playing its final non-conference game next week against Atkins. That's a new high school over toward the Alamance County area. The hold called against Graham will be accepted, so the ball will be taken back inside the five-yard line. It's half the distance to the goal line, so the infraction will take it to the four. Yard, the gain is still the 25, make it the 26. So it's going to be second and 22.
Not a good start here to this drive for the Graham Red Devils.
It's pretty much apropos of the game when you get right down to it. Newman in the backfield with Graves along his side. Looks to throw. He's going to chuck it deep down the field, getting chases. Piscatelli, who nearly had his second pick of the night. He was on coverage and stayed step for step with the intended receiver, Jeremy Williams.
Tough one for Piscatelli to get. He was looking back over his shoulder while still trying to stay at full speed in case the receiver was able to get to the ball. He might have had that interception if he just stayed in stride. Instead, he kind of imagined it dropping down into his arm, so he started to slide a little bit. Ended up slowing him down enough so that the ball went right past him.
There's not as much of a crown on this field here at Allman Stadium as there used to be, and thus the turf is in much better shape. Used to be that three different sports were played on this field. Now there's a field designated specifically for soccer that rests right above the football field. Third down, Newman takes pressure in the end zone, and his pass is broken up, intended for Graves. It was taken down by Nick Schultz. Nick Schultz knocked it down, and Newman was nearly sacked in the end zone by LeMaster. That could have been a safety very easily. So it'll be fourth down, and the Orange defense keeps its perfect streak intact. That might be all for the first string tonight. And if it is, their streak of games without giving up a point will extend to four. J.D. Brooks back to return this punt here for Mariolas. And the punt is away. It's guided away from Brooks, who still catches up with it. He lets it bounce. He'll hop over the 50-yard line. Good punt by Mariolas. And it will bounce all the way to the 43. Check that. That is the backup kicker in the game. And that was Eric Fuentes in there, not Mariolas. So Eric Fuentes with a fine punt all the way out to the Panther 44. With a minute three remaining here in the third quarter. Orange is leading 35 to nothing.
Graham has still yet to complete a pass in this game as well, Jeff, as Jamie Newman is 0 for 9 with an interception.
That comes off a performance last week against Western Alamance where he was 10 of 25 for a touchdown. First down for the Panthers. Drew LeMaster was in on the huddle, but now he comes out of the game, but he is walking quite happily. And now here's the pass over the middle. Clower throws, and the pass is caught by Piscatelli deep inside the Graham backfield, defensive backfield, down to the 32 of the Red Devils. So Joe Piscatelli with another solid grab, and it'll be a first down.
Little slide to make the grab. Garrett Clower with a good throw. Very pretty that time. They missed that opportunity about two drives ago. They were in the red zone, and Clower was looking for Piscatelli in the end zone and couldn't quite hit him. That time, very similar play with Piscatelli cutting to the left, and he scored.
So the gain, good to the 32, and now we have whistles. And we have a timeout called by Graham. After that 22-yard pickup, we'll have a timeout on the field. With the score, Orange 35, Graham nothing, and you're listening to ChapelBurl.com.
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro. So stop by or give them a call at 942-3153.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford. director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org.
First down coming up for Orange at the Graham 32 as the third quarter clock winds down. Here's Tay Jones, handoff left side, dances away from a couple of Red Devils over the 30-yard line, fighting toward the first down marker, and he is close to the first down. Wrestled down to the turf at the 24 as the third down clock, third quarter clock will wind down. Appears to be a gain of 9 for Jones as he moves toward 100 yards. Drew LeMaster for Orange already over 100 yards on the night. Call it a 9-yard gain, and that will end the third quarter. So Orange looking for a 4-0 start, and the score at the end of three quarters is Orange 35, Graham nothing, and you're listening to ChapelBurrow.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network, and we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall, and PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T. The nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
We open up the fourth quarter. Orange with a second and short from the Graham 23. Here's the handoff. LeMaster dancing outside the right. Flag is down. LeMaster tackled inside the 20, but it's not going to stand. Umpire has thrown a flag, and it's going to be a hold against the Panthers. Orange, with a solid night statistically, Walter, what's it looking like?
Tay Jones with the bulk of the carries, 14 times he's touched the ball on a handoff, and he's got 91 yards out of it with two touchdowns. He's also been catching a couple of balls out of the backfield, two to be exact, for 15 yards, and he put it into the end zone that way as well. So three touchdowns for Tay Jones on the night. He's not the leading rusher, though. That belongs to Drew LeMaster, 10 rushes for 119 yards. He's been out of the game for the past drive and a half until right now because of what looked like a cramp issue with his calf, but seems to be okay and back in there now, although his most recent run was negated by the holding call.
And that penalty will make it second and 11 here for the Panthers. Ball back to the 34-yard line. We're at second and 11 in Graham territory. Orange up 35 to nothing here to begin the fourth quarter. And so the streak by Orange stands another game. They still have not given up a point in the second or third quarters this year through four games. Pitch out. LeMaster follows a convoy to the right. Far sideline 30. Drew LeMaster to the 25, and he is close
to
the first. Oh, he's still going. Bounced off a red double to the 20. Flag comes down late as LeMaster is tackled. What a run by LeMaster at the 18. I thought he was simply going to follow the herd out of bounds, but instead, he just broke back to the center of the field and picked up another 5 yards, and let's see what happens with this penalty.
It left a lot of damage in his wake as well as slow to get up off the ground. Damian Dawkins as well as Khalil Poole, as both of them were very slow to get up and go to the sideline.
We have a block in the back called against Orange that's going to negate some but not all of the yardage that LeMaster wound up gaining there. That should be really the nickname, I think, for Drew LeMaster. Drew Collateral Damage LeMaster. That'd be pretty good. I like the sound of that. All told, after the block and the back penalty, LeMaster got 1 yard when it could have been 15, but yet another hanky has hurt them. So it's second and 10 with 11:05 remaining and Orange cruising leading 35-0. Clower lines up in an I formation. He's behind center with three wideouts, and he'll run a swing pass to the near side, pass overthrown, intended for Kai Muller, and it'll be third down. It has not been the best throwing night percentage-wise for Clower, but he hasn't always had the most help from his receivers. That pass, however, was well wide of Kai Muller.
Completing 50% of his passes, Jeff. He's 8 of 16 right now for 75 yards. Did throw the one touchdown.
And when I say it's not been a solid night percentage-wise, that's actually well below his percentage coming into this game. He was 28 of 41 for 453 yards, 8 touchdowns, and only one interception. Three wideouts once again on 3rd and 10 for Orange at the Graham 33. Two wideouts to the right, one to the left. And a handoff goes to the fullback, Michael Bolden, who scored the first touchdown of the night. He fights ahead to the 28-yard line. So Michael Bolden, not Bolton, thank heavens, gets five.
That might have been Mark Holt on the carry.
Oh, excuse
there,
me, it was Mark Holt. You're right, that's his first carry of the night. That was Holt as opposed to Bolden. That was 36 as opposed to 37.
So slipped in there.
Yes. So Orange will go for it on 4th and 5. 10:25 remaining. Walter will have some scores here. There are other games a little more suspenseful going on. 4th down to 5. And here's Clower out of the I formation. And a handoff, he'll go to Bolden. And this time he stacked up for a gain of only one, so he really had to be hit low there. If you hit him high, you're liable to wind up with a concussion. He stopped shy of the first down, though, after a gain of one. And so it will be Graham ball. And it looks like some of the Orange defensive reserves are going to go into the game. Players like Shamel Corbett, along with 62 Ryan Wade. So the first string defense has been pulled, and that means that it will be another night where Orange's first string defense pitched a shutout. That's four consecutive games now. J.D. Brooks is still in. He's the starting free safety, and he'll go out on the field right now. Graham's going to have to call a timeout as they don't have the right personnel out. Timeout on the field with 9:48 remaining in regulation. Orange up 35-0 on Graham, and you're listening to chapelboro.com.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
Come back to action here. First down coming up for Graham. They have only one timeout remaining in the game. So it will be most interesting to see what happens when Big 8 conference play begins. Orange up 35-0 in this one. And so looking at the scores, Orange won over Pearson 40-7, Northern Durham 42-15, and Riverside 38-0. Orange now working on a seven-quarter shutout string. The last team that scored against Orange was Northern Durham in the fourth quarter 2 weeks ago here. Panthers bidding for their second straight shutout here tonight. Offside called against Orange as Graham will make it first and five after the Panther infraction. And if there's one negative to this game, it's the amount of Panther penalties. First down, Jamie Newman under center. And he'll run a toss to the far end. It's Lee with the ball. He'll reverse course, fight past the 30, dodges past the diving Panther at the 35, and he's got the first down, fighting ahead to the 40-yard line. So Lee was the one who reversed field that time after watching Drew LeMaster do it for Orange earlier in the game, and it produced similar results, a first down after an 8-yard pickup.
Gets the ball up to the 41-yard line there, Jeff, and Graham just trying to pull something out of this game, something they can build upon. You mentioned how young this team is and not a lot in terms of substitutions, but if they could hang a touchdown here on this Orange defense, even though there's some second stringers in there, that would be a good momentum builder toward their next game.
First down coming up here for the Red Devils, and we have whistles. Just as Newman was about to gather the snap from the shotgun, this is the first matchup between the two teams since 2008. Have offside called against Orange once again. And so that will take it to the Panther 46. Orange won that one 35-7. That was back when Dickie Schock was coaching the Panthers, and that would be his final season with Orange. And oddly enough, a man who was calling the game for the Graham radio crew that night on color was one Pat Moser. Little did he know that he would be coaching against the team that beat his Red Devils the very next year. Newman with a quarterback sneak around the left side. He's got the first down going over the 50, and he takes it to the Panther 48-yard line, so Graham has crossed the 50-yard line. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the first time they've done that tonight. They did it on a kickoff, but not based on scrimmage plays. They've inherited two drives inside Panther territory, one because of a bad punt, and the other off a kickoff return, but they haven't crossed the 50 based on scrimmage plays, but they've done so here. Pitch out goes to Lee. He meets pressure immediately, and they'll be stacked up at the 50. He's still fighting. Some courageous running by number 11, Ladarius Lee, but he's still stacked up for a loss. And it was Drew LeMaster, who's working double duty tonight, finally bringing him to the turf as a linebacker on defense.
Couple scores for you, Jeff. Millbrook leading Northern Durham 41-5. Dudley leading Hillside 18-0. Dudley a force to be reckoned with, beating such a powerhouse in Hillside.
That's right.
By that score, that game's in the third quarter. Garner on top of Cary 42-28. That game in the fourth quarter as well. Looks like the game might be slipping away from East Chapel Hill down the stretch. As Southern Alamance in the fourth quarter has extended the lead by 10 to now 38-28.
Southern Alamance will see Graham later this year in the Mid-State 2A Conference. Second down and 11 here. Here's Newman rolling to the left. He'll throw on the run. Pass is caught. His first completion of the night. And he manages to get it to Don Evans, who's got a first down to the Panther 32-yard line. And that's where he's wrestled down by A.J. Bradshaw and J.D. Brooks, the initial tandem with the tackle. So Graham finally completes a pass. And the ball moved down to the Panther 33-yard line.
One for 10, now for 17 yards, and one interception for Jamie Newman.
Well, won't say a lot in terms of percentages, but Graham at least on the move with a threat. However, their putting has not been very good. Their short distances have been a struggle tonight. Here's Newman, meets a blitz immediately. He'll be flushed out of the pocket, throws on the run, just throws it up for grabs. And it just goes beyond the reach of Piscatelli, and it was all because of Eric Compton on a blitz. He pressured Newman, and I mean he came in untouched around the right side of the line. Newman did everything he could to avoid a loss.
And then Newman got drilled as he unleashed the pass down the field. Piscatelli with another opportunity to pick that ball off, and Newman slowly makes his way over to the sideline to get the next play. He'll stay in there, tough guy, and he's a big guy. He can absorb hits like that, but it was a hard one because his arm was up in the air after just having let go of the ball. So he took sort of that rib shot to the right side, driven into the ground hard, but seems to be okay, and he's going to continue.
Tell you, Newman, Lee, these guys are really earning what they can out there. Got to tip your cap to them because they're taking a beating. Orange still coming with blitzes here. Second down and 10. It'll be Lee this time off the toss sweep to the left. He fights ahead. Now we have a flag down. Thank heavens we had one at least five plays. Gained for about two that time. Sykes comes on for the tackle that time. That's Austin Sykes.
This will be penalty number 22 of the game.
22nd accepted penalty of the game tonight. A block in the back called against Graham. 22. Austin Sykes, a young man from Caldwell. He is one half of the three-time defending 4th of July Caldwell Horseshoe Championship tandem with his father, Brian.
Wow.
I know that because I kept score for that tournament the last 3 years.
Is there a trophy that comes along with that competition?
Is
it a plaque?
You get $10,000 of Monopoly money. In fact, Austin, I will guarantee you, will throw tomorrow at the Spirit of Caldwell celebration. Austin will be alongside his father, who's here tonight, Brian. Brian works for the Orange County Sheriff's Department. Holding penalty. We'll take the ball back to the 43. Austin Sykes, one of the backups in there right now, made the tackle on that last play. So it's going to be second down. We'll call it second and 20 from the 43 after the holding penalty, or the block in the back penalty. Newman Sprints off, makes a break for it over the 40. He's to the 35, dodges a tackle, and he's forced out of bounds back over the original line of scrimmage. He gets it inside the 30-yard line, so it'll be third down.
Just haven't been able to see Newman do a lot of that tonight, but you can see the talent when he gets some room to operate and gets one-on-one with the defenders. He's able to make some nice juke moves and bounce to the outside, use some speed, a little bit of a stiff arm there to get past the defender. Had one on the coattails, and he shagged him away and got it back to the original line of scrimmage and a little bit further.
Got 11 out of it, to be exact. Ball to the Orange 31, so it's third down and 9. 35-0, Orange with the lead, 6:15 to go in the game. Here's Newman with the toss. He'll go to Ladarius Lee. He's over the 30, past the 25, still going over the 20, and he's got the first down. Check that. That is Daniel Graves with the carry, as he carried it on the toss that time. And a strong run by Graves, another one of those players going both ways tonight for Graham. And it's enough to get the first down and then some.
One of the better-looking runs for Graham over the past several drives, and it puts him in business inside the red zone. Maybe they'll be able to capitalize and put the ball into the end zone here.
Got 13 out of it, did Graves. Graves will stay in as the lone back in the backfield. It's an offset eye formation now. This time Newman will line up under center. Graham looking for a score as they're down 35-0. Here's the toss. Graves will go far side this time. He's tracked down, gets away from one tackler, but not another. The initial pursuit by Compton. He got away, and then finishing off was J.D. Brooks. Also getting in there was Nick Schultz. So it's a loss back to the 23-yard line. Loss of 6 on the play there.
So far for Graham tonight, 25 rushes, but they've only been able to get 70 yards on that rushing attack.
And that's actually an improvement considering where they were. They were barely above 1 yard per carry at the half.
10 penalties for 76 yards, so the penalty yardage still outweighing the total offense.
Handoff, Graves on the inside, disappears into a stack of orange jerseys, and he's taken down after a small gain. Jerome James comes in there for the stop. So it'll be third down. Something we have not done, Walter, we haven't mentioned the cheerleaders. Can we get a list of the cheerleaders, please? We want to mention them before we go off the air tonight. We feel like that's only the right thing to do. Would you like to mention the cheerleaders' names?
No, it's all you,
Jeff. Oh, come on. You can at least do that. I mean, you're keeping stats and keeping us abreast of scores as well. You don't want to mention the cheerleaders?
If we're going to do them justice, we need your golden pipes.
Okay. Third down and 15. Pressure over the middle, pass incomplete. Once again, Eric Compton came around the end on the blitz, and the pass was incomplete, intended for Graves. So it's fourth down. It was Graves and James. Georgia McCray, Caitlin Honaker, Carson Reagan, Asia Tilley, Chesney Boyce, Devin Chamberlain, Takia McQuillan, Aisha Mayo, Jessica Delancey, Caitlin Beatty, Christy Walls, Mackenzie Almers, Aaron Sykes. A few more to read off, too. Fourth down, 15. Newman will keep it himself on a play-action fake, but he'll be stacked up and dropped shy of the first down, and so Graham will have to turn it back over, as once again Derek Boone came up with a solid play to make the stop from his cornerback position. Also getting in there was J.D. Brooks.
Would have liked to have seen Graham go to the air on that. You know, try and build some more confidence in your quarterback, Newman, letting him throw that ball through the air since he's had sort of a rough night, but they decided to go with that draw play there. Doesn't work out, and Orange to take back over. Ball on the 16-yard line, Jeff Hamlin.
Yep. 3:58 remaining, and now we're going to see Josh Keel in the game at quarterback, a young man who we talked about last week during our broadcast of East Chapel Hill and Cedar Ridge. And the handoff up the middle goes number 37, Michael Bolden, and he grinds ahead for about 3 yards, maybe four. Keel, of course, was set to play at Cedar Ridge and be the starting quarterback. They elected a transfer across town to Hillsboro. Go a little further to the north, and that really left Cedar Ridge in a lurch, if you will, because they were looking for a backup. And that, of course, cost them a chance to really have a solid start to the season, and Cedar Ridge has really struggled. Handoff, it'll go to Bolden once again, running to the right. He's going to get ahead to the 25. Also want to mention Brooklyn Hucks. Now something I hate to do, ask for a pronunciation. Is this Diana, you know, that's pronounced well, some, our scorekeeper as well. Diana.
Got to make sure you get Shahuti? Those pronunciations correct.
Yes, okay. I apologize. Diana Shahuti.
This Shahuti. Is the entertaining part of the game.
Shawali. Diana Shawali. Mackenzie Almers, Kerry Goodwin, Ashwin Meeks, Brooklyn Hucks, Aaron Sykes, Emery Polito, thank you for all the great work that you do. Kaylee Polito as well as Shania Caldwell. First down carry by Bolden. He fights ahead, and it'll be a first down for the Panthers as the clock winds down, and Orange will go 4-0 as they lead 35-0.
You said some of those cheerleaders two or three times there.
Oh, I did? Well, I lost track.
Getting some play.
Well, I lost track there. I just want
to
mention.
I don't think they're paying to get their names mentioned on the air, but we may need to change that.
Well, no. That
we're borderline sponsorship here.
That's a thought.
We'll have to talk to station
management
about this. In one case,
that's certainly the case, but that's another story entirely.
Family.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so it's first down. Inside 2 minutes remaining. Keel the quarterback.
Bolden up to 31 yards, Jeff.
Also had the first touchdown of the night. Muller in motion. Keel will throw to Muller, but the pass is batted down at the line of scrimmage by Jeremy Williams. So it'll be second down. Again, we mentioned that Orange will have next week off, and then they will take on Northwood to begin a stacked Big 8 conference slate that will be in Pittsburgh. And at last word, Northwood had the lead on Carrboro.
See if he can give you a full rundown on scores in the postgame show.
In the game now for Orange is Landon Wheeler as a wide receiver. Keel, the quarterback, on second down and 10. Looks to throw, instead hands off. Bolden rumbles up the middle, and the big bowling ball of a fullback carries about four Red Devils with him. A good 4 yards down the field. He could have charged them cab fare as far as he took them. Down to the 48-yard line. That'll move the chains with a minute 38 remaining. Bolden is an on-again, off-again starter, but certainly Orange wants to rest up Pat Pettiford as much as possible. Leading up to the big game 2 weeks from now against Northwood. Really, the bye week couldn't come at a better time. How's that for a cliche?
Yep. We'll go to the scoreboard after this play.
All right. Mark Holt is in the game as well, dotting the I in the I formation. One wing back. Keel will hand it off, and he'll go to Holt. He fights over midfield, and a Red Devil winds up making a tackle in self-defense. He just grabbed Holt's head and held on from there, and Khalil Poole will get credited for a stop. But really, he was the one taken down on the play.
An assaulting run that time by Holt. And a good one at that. Holt with his second rush of the game, 18 yards on those two rushes. It looks like, as we go to the scoreboard, East Chapel Hill is going to run out of time tonight. Several defensive penalties lead to another Southern Alamance score. It's now 43-28. Southern Alamance leading with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Malik Jimenez in the game for this final play from scrimmage. Also in there, Dwayne Watkins, but Keel will just take a knee, and that will do it. Orange has pitched its second consecutive shutout. They have not given up a point in eight quarters of football now, and they are now 4-0 for the first time in recent memory. They will go into the bye week with a perfect non-conference slate in their rearview mirror, and they'll get ready for a powerful series of teams in the brand-new Big 8 Conference. Orange 4-0 as they whitewash the Graham Red Devils tonight here at Almond Stadium in Hillsboro, 35-0. That's the contest. We'll be back with postgame in just a moment. You're listening to ChapelBurl.com.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Salemson, Chief Executive Officer of Corporate Investors Mortgage Group, and I'm proud to lead Chapel Hill's only locally owned mortgage bank. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows, so whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels!
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro. So stop by or give them a call at 942-3153.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
35-0, the final score is Orange is able to defeat the Graham Red Devils and move to 4-0 on the year for the first time in recent memory. We've got some other scores from across the area for you. Before we give you stats from tonight's game and hear from the head coach of the Orange Panthers, Pat Moser, Northwood beating Carrboro in the fourth quarter, 34-19. The score there, it looks like the Jaguars may run out of time, but still the entire fourth quarter to play. So Carrboro does have time to possibly come back. That'll be one to keep your ears tuned in for. See what happens. You can tune into that game on WCHL. Other scores for you from across the area as we look over to the Southern Vance and Northern Vance matchup. Southern Vance leading 33-6 over the Northern Vance Vikings. And it is also happening with Northern Durham losing tonight to Millbrook, 41-2, the final score there as the Knights go down in heavy defeat. Hillside now trailing Dudley 24-0. So one of Durham's best teams is now trailing by a margin of 24-0, if you will. Cleveland beating Greenhope 28-21. That game nearing the end of the third quarter as well. We'll see if we can give you some more scores before the night is over. Last update we had from East Chapel Hill was Southern Alamance leading the Wildcats 43-28. That game was with less than 4 minutes to go in the fourth. Should be going final in the very near future, if not already there. Looks like the Wildcats will drop that contest and not quite have the chance to pick up back-to-back wins after their victory over Cedar Ridge last week. We'll do another break and then come back and give you some stats from this game, and we look forward to hearing from the head coach of Orange, Pat Moser, as well. Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you here on the postgame show after the Panthers win 35-0 over the Red Devils on Chapelboro.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall. And PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
Orange 35, Graham nothing. The final score here tonight from Aumann Stadium as Orange moves to 4-0. That culminates their non-conference schedule, and next week Orange will take the week off and prepare for the Northwood Chargers. And based on what Walter just told us a moment ago, it looks like Northwood will have a victory tonight over East Chapel Hill. But, Walter, this was a game that Orange figured to be the big favorites in because they have a lot more experience and, frankly, a lot more personnel than Graham. And it just took them a long time to get out of the starting blocks because this was really a sloppy game from the get-go.
You're right. You have to remember that Graham was, Orange was also without their best running back in the contest as well. So Orange had to rely on some backups, and Drew LeMaster and Tay Jones got more carries than he's used to. And, hey, it paid dividends. They were able to do a great job running the football. So we take a look at the stat sheet. Drew LeMaster leads the Orange Panthers with 119 yards rushing on 10 carries, averaging more than 10 yards a rush. He scored one touchdown. Tay Jones had 14 carries. That was the most on the team. And he rushed for 91 yards in the game. He scored two touchdowns on the ground, had one through the air as well. Michael Bolden piled up a couple of rushes toward the end of the second half, ends up with 9 rushes for 45 yards. Garrett Clower, the quarterback, with 3 rushes for 19 yards. Mark Holt with 2 rushes in the fourth quarter, getting him to 18 yards. And quarterback Josh Keel had 1 rush for negative 1 yards in the game. Graham Red Devils, meanwhile, with Darius Lee, the lead rusher for the team, but only got 38 yards on 10 attempts, for an average of 3.8 yards a carry. Jamie Newman had 11 rushes, but he only got 26 yards. He was the quarterback. A lot of those rushes counted as sacks in the game. Daniel Graves with 3 rushes for 10 yards. Springfield, Yarbrough, and Evans all with 1 rush apiece for 3, 2, and negative 2 yards, respectively. Passing for the Graham Red Devils, 1 of 12 was Jamie Newman on the night for 17 yards. He did throw 1 interception. Meanwhile, Garrett Clower was 8 of 16. A little bit off the mark from his usual percentages, but he did throw for 75 yards and had that one short touchdown pass. All in all, as you take a look at the stat sheet for the teams, penalties, they were a big storyline tonight. 12 penalties against Orange for 97 yards. Meanwhile, for Graham, 10 penalties and 76 yards is what it cost them. Almost identical numbers in terms of penalty yardage and rushing yards for the Graham Devils. And then when you only had one pass completion for 17 yards, just shows you that there just wasn't a lot of movement taking place with the Red Devils tonight, which made it unfortunate that they weren't able to put any points up on the board and end up losing the game 35-0. Graham did get 7 first downs, but it was Orange who moved the football the most, 22 first downs on the night, an impressive margin there. And they did go 5-for-12 on third down and 1-of-2 on fourth down conversions. Graham only went 2 of 10 from third down. That stalled a lot of drives out tonight. They went for it twice on fourth down, couldn't convert any of those attempts as well. And that's what led us to the 35-0 score, Jeff.
Yeah, we're going to name our player of the game, and you can hear more about our player of the game next week here on The Grid on WCHL, which you can hear immediately before the games at 6 o'clock. That leads up to our high school football coverage. Next week we'll have one game here on the air. Of course, that's the battle for the Hodgson Cup, Chapel Hill versus East Chapel Hill. Our player of the game tonight, obvious name. He did such a great job offensively and defensively. It's Drew LeMaster. Not a big surprise. A stellar job here for a young man, only a sophomore, 5'8", 175 pounds, but he had over 100 yards rushing on the night. And he came away with a solid night overall defensively, Walter. Starting in place of Pat Pettiford, who was injured in this game. Drew himself wound up getting hurt midway through the contest, came back in the second half. That didn't stop him from playing offense and defense. It was just a solid overall night for the young man, who's also one of the best wrestlers in the state.
Yep, he was fun to watch run. I liked his style, staying up on his feet, using those shoulders to create some space and get yardage. He was fun to see. And he did a great job helping Orange to the victory tonight. A good 1-2 combo between he and Jones. And they helped lead Orange to the victory 35-0 again that score. We hope to get Pat Moser on the line with us as we'll try and get him up here to the press box. We will first head to a timeout, though, and then be back with more of the postgame show here at Orange High School.
If you've been hassling with glasses and contacts for years, why wait any longer? At Carolina Ophthalmology, we've been performing LASIK eye correction here in Chapel Hill for 17 years. At your free consultation with Dr. James Bryan, he will answer your questions and evaluate whether LASIK is right for you. Take our LASIK self-test at carolina2020.com. Call us today, 919-945-EYES. Why wait any longer?
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Hi, I'm David Fitch. My great-grandfather started Fitch Lumber and Hardware back in 1907. Since then, we provide thousands of contractors and homeowners with top-quality building products and exceptional service that's truly second to none. Everything you need to construct, renovate, and repair the home, from the foundation to the roof, we can help you with. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro across from Carr Mill Mall. 105 years and counting. Here comes Fitch.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
Jeff Hamlin, Walter Storholt back with you. Almond Stadium clearing out after the Orange Panthers win their third home game of the year. And they are 4-0 to start the season. They beat the Graham Red Devils by a score of 35-0 as Orange winds up with three touchdowns by Tay Jones. Two touchdowns on the ground, one through the air, and a solid all-around night by Drew LeMaster, who also scored a touchdown for Orange. And so Orange will move into their bye week with a 4-0 mark, and we'll see what happens, Walter, when they go up against Northwood in 2 weeks. That's going to be a very, very anticipated matchup, and there are going to be a lot of anticipated matchups coming up here for the Panthers. We're trying to wave Coach Moser up here, but he just gave me a thumbs up, so I get the feeling he's
he's going home to celebrate the victory.
And he's alongside two reporters, and frankly, I don't blame him. I keep walking with the reporters, quite honestly. I don't blame him at all. But actually, you have to go through that gate where he's walking now in order to get up here. So we actually might have a chance to talk to him before we go off the air here on chapelboro.com. But we've talked about this game tonight, Walter, and we're just left wondering exactly how things are going to wind up going for this Orange team, because, yes, they've beaten three 4A teams, and they beat a 2A squad here tonight. Now you just wonder exactly how they're going to do against teams that have a very similar skill set, and certainly Northwood will fall into that category, because that's going to be a team that is going to be tough to move the ball against, and defensively, they are quite solid. Offensively, they're a lot more seasoned than a lot of the teams that Orange will play.
We're going to get a chance to see exactly what this Orange team is made out of finally when they play Northwood. Their non-conference schedule had somewhat of a challenge along the way, and each individual game had its little challenges, but when you look at the scores and how they were able to handily defeat each opponent, really they haven't faced that true test yet. And that'll be interesting to see how they do in what should be a much closer game against a much higher skilled opponent, first conference game of the season. It's going to be fun, but that's going to really be the game where we get to learn a lot about what this team is made of.
And certainly you can't say enough about the skill players that Orange had here once again tonight, even though they were shorthanded. Patrick Pettiford not playing tonight for Orange because of a sprained ankle after he suffered that injury against Riverside. Nonetheless, Drew LeMaster comes up with a great performance, and Orange comes away with a 35-0 victory. Walter, great job. And
thank you, sir.
We're going to be off next week, but we will be back coming up in 2 weeks. Listen in for where we'll be coming up in 2 weeks. Next week, you get to enjoy coverage of Chapel Hill versus East Chapel Hill, the battle for the Hodgin Cup. Live from Colton Pierman Stadium, East Chapel Hill looks to win that rivalry for the first time since 2003. Can they do it? They may actually be the favorite, believe it or not. For Walter Storholt, I'm Jeff Hamlin saying goodnight from Almond Stadium.